High fives, Wisconsin. Just heard from Gina Della from Pella that a Wisconsin chapter of NARI, the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, has named Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin the distributor of the year. But there's more. The International Builders Show just named Pella's new Easy Slide Operator the best window and door product of 2021. The Easy Slide Operator is yet another patented Pella innovation that eliminates the repetitive cranking motion on casement and awning windows with an Easy Slide. A real blessing for those with hand and wrist issues. But there's still more. Based on their 2019 consumer survey, Pella windows are rated number one for highest value, highest quality, and improving home value. Plus, right now, get 5 years, no interest, plus 5 months, no first payment. That's a huge deal. So high fives all around Wisconsin, but only through March 31st. Set your free consultation today at PellaWI.com/radio or call 855-PELLAWI. Pella WI. That's 855 Pella WI. Certain restrictions apply. See PellaWI.com for details.
Fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. Without the cape, we're the superpowers. Not even a sidekick. Heck, we don't even have fancy gadgets. This is just Joe and his trusty microphone. Made in the USA. This is the regular Joe Show. 1360-97.5 WTAQ.
Well, good morning and welcome one, welcome all. Joe Gigante, your regular Joe here with you, beginning yet another week of broadcasting. You and I, wading through the mess, the muck, the mud, the darkness and the fog known as the current political, socioeconomic environment of these United States, and especially here in the state of Wisconsin. Your VIP backstage sound check segment exclusive to the awesome, wonderful, and vivacious, oh yes, vivacious listeners of AM 1360, 97.5 FM, WTAQ, and of course our live stream listeners from all parts of the country, maybe even the world. I haven't asked if we have any international listeners. I know we have listeners all over this wonderful state, as well as all over the country. So, always happy to be with you here. You can be a part of our conversation, 888-455-1360, as we always do on a Monday. So much to cover. But we're also a week and a day away from the election. So we're going to have a busy week with that coming up at 9:30 today. Judge Shelley Grogan will be in studio to talk about her candidacy. Why, if we haven't learned anything in the past couple months, the importance of good, solid, Constitution-loving, living and breathing judges, it should be forefront in our mind. We're going to speak to a couple judges this week running for office, as well as some other candidates. We've got that. We have the latest in the ongoing scandal of the November 3rd vote. Now, it started here in Green Bay, at least the information we got first came out about the invisible mayor, Eric Genrich. And that is not, I mean, if anything, it continues to get deeper and deeper. And it's interesting because I was on a thread of an email thread with one of the one of the city council members in Green Bay. And apparently, and I want to look into the details of this before I say it definitively, because I don't know this, but my understanding is this city council member is a former police officer, and they're talking about evidence and not having seen enough evidence to think there's anything wrong yet. And I find that kind of interesting, because I would think as a former police, if in fact that's correct, that, you know, one knows you investigate to, you know, to then get evidence. You know, that's how it goes, right? I mean, you hear, you know, for example, if I said, well, Mr. Green stole my headphones and my mic cover, then, you know, there's an allegation. Someone has to investigate to find out. Otherwise, it's just, you know, just an allegation. And in the entire thread, I didn't see anything in there where this city council member kept falling back on, well, I mean, you know, I haven't seen anything that rises to the level. Well, then why wouldn't you call for an investigation? I would think that would be kind of second nature, given the background. Again, assuming that's correct and that's accurate. And who knows? Maybe they will, because Wisconsin Spotlight in Empower Wisconsin continues to release more and more information that is showing clearly there's a lot of smoke. Now, there's no fire yet in that there's no hard evidence that's been introduced, but that's because there's not been the investigation. It's kind of a, it's not even chicken and egg. It's kind of just a basic 101 of understanding how this is supposed to work. And I would hope, I will call once again, that David Lissay, the Brown County Republican, he's just district attorney, but apparently he was a Republican is what I've been told. But it shouldn't matter. It really shouldn't. It shouldn't be a left-right issue. It should be an issue of fact versus fiction, legal versus illegal. Truth should prevail, and that's what we need to know. And until that investigation is done, we're not going to know. Now, today, headline from Matt Kittle is doing just fantastic work. MD Kittle over Wisconsin Spotlight, which is a part of the Empower Wisconsin Foundation. And it says, what WEC knew, WEC, which would be the Wisconsin Elections Commission? And the answer is plenty. I know that that's not horribly shocking to some of you, but to others that live in denial, mostly the left, remember, five cities receive this money. Racine, Kenosha, La Crosse, Milwaukee, Madison, and Green Bay. And I've been saying from the very beginning, if there was shenanigans in Green Bay, the shenanigans are based on how they set this whole thing up. Yeah, take the millions of dollars, and they come with strings attached. And guess what? That's starting to be shown now. More and more is being released of things going on in these other municipalities, not just in Green Bay. And now we go to the Wisconsin Elections Commission, WEC for short. According with Matt's, and I'm going to get into this more in 9 o'clock hour, but just to give you the teaser of this, the new emails that have been uncovered showed Milwaukee Elections Administrator Claire Woodall Vaug connecting top Wisconsin Election Commission officials with Michael Spitzer Rubenstein, you know, the guy here who had access to the ballot counting room. He had 4 out of the 5 keys. Who had the 5th one? That's what I'd like to know. Which he was the Wisconsin lead for the National Vote at Home Institute. Spitzer Rubenstein, in these emails, telling WEC administrators that he can help city clerks with their elections, including, quote, curing absentee ballots and signature verification. Now, besides that being illegal, what could go wrong if we just give that to a third party being paid to be there by a left-wing activist? I don't know what we could possibly think could happen there. I'll get into more of that in the 9 o'clock hour as well. But this is why showing up on April 6th is so important. This is why being plugged in, calling the district attorney's office, David Lissay, and saying that you want an investigation. That's not saying anyone's guilty of anything. It's saying, let's find out. And that's, by the way, what, you know, that's the job, right? I always say this whole thing about it started out, I had a conversation a few weeks ago about going to fast food restaurants and it not being fast and, you know, having troubles and the frustration being that this isn't their side gig, right? This is what they do. And the same is true for our elected officials. Whether it's an elected district attorney or people down in Madison, that's their job. It's not supposed to be a side gig. It's their job. And then when they stop realizing that, when they stop knowing that, this is where we get in trouble. So, and I'm not saying, by the way, I'm not accusing David Lissay of that in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying you, the people, have to let your voices be heard. You need to say to David Lissay by calling his office that you want him to get to the bottom of it here in Brown County to know what went on. All right, now. Well, like I said, we'll dig into what came out a little later in the show. But also, as I mentioned, the election's coming up. One of the judicial candidates is our local Brown County Circuit Court, Branch 4, Judge Kendall Kelly. He is the incumbent. He is being challenged. Now, if I were to read the headline as written, it would say he's being challenged from attorney Rachel Mace. But that's not completely true. He's actually being challenged by Richard Mace. Richard Mace, in the not-too-distant past, decided he didn't like being a dude anymore. And he has decided that he wants to play make-believe and pretend he's a woman. Now, whatever. I mean, that, you know, people, I guess, are allowed to play make-believe. It seems that that's everything nowadays, whether it's the scaredemic tactics that are out there or elections where they say, well, there's no sign there's anything wrong with these elections. Or now we look at this circuit court race. The Green Bay Press-Gazette did an interview with both candidates, had some Q&A. But here's the thing. So Richard Mace is an assistant city attorney for Green Bay. Kind of interesting because, after all, as I just mentioned a moment ago, Green Bay is at the center of a lot of what we're hearing with the questions of illegal activities during the election. But now you have a 36-year-old who just recently left his three children and wife behind, recently divorced. And now I don't know this because, one, I don't really care to know. I mean, it's not my business. But all I know is that if you look at the timeline, when Richard decided he didn't want to be Richard anymore, it seemed to lead to marital strife and led to a divorce. Now, again, perhaps it's completely unrelated and purely coincidental that that timeline happened. Now, but I want you to think about the job of a circuit court judge to think prudentially over the law and their job to preside over cases, to judge whether there's been violations of the law, yes or no, and then in the applicable cases, make a decision of sentencing on that. Do you really want to put somebody into that chair and into those robes that can't figure out whether they're a male or a female? Look, if Richard decided that he was the King of England and wanted to run around with a crown from Burger King and say that he is the King of England and then wanted to be a judge, would you not question his fitness to be a judge? If Richard decided that he was a tree and decided to run to be judge, would you not question his fitness for office to sit in that role, particularly a role that requires an understanding objectively of the law and to be able to reason through, to use logic, to come to a decision of legal or illegal, laws broken or not broken? I think this is a very fair question. I know there's, you can't say, why not? If Judge Kendall Kelly decided he was a leprechaun, wouldn't you question whether he should run for re-election? I would. But what we have in Judge Kendall Kelly is experience over the last 19 years serving as a circuit court judge. I don't think you would have to try your darndest to try to find somebody that would speak ill of his judicial record, his jurisprudence, and his approach to the law, handling thousands of cases that have come through his courtroom. I mean, he holds, obviously, a juris doctorate you have to be a lawyer, in terms of his education level. He's been the chairperson of the Brown County Courthouse Security Committee. And is known for, in addition to that, 25 years of teaching law and ethics to college and graduate students, and is known for his strength on the bench as a good, fair judge who enforces the law, who decides upon the law, doesn't try to be an activist. Now, you look at Richard, who now works for the city of Green Bay as an assistant attorney, looking under listed relevant experience, serving on the Green Bay Chamber Diversity and Inclusiveness Task Force, the 2021 National LGBT Bar Association, 40 best LGBT lawyers under 40, These are the things that he lists as things that show his strength to be a judge. Now, in this interview, Richard talks about the need to bring a fresh perspective to the courts. These are buzzwords, and we need to realize this. When you hear somebody in this position start talking about fresh perspectives, running basically on his desire to change his gender, that's not a qualification, because what that tells you is that they're going to go into the job not objectively, but with an agenda, with a set course that they want to follow. Why would one choose, after 19 years of great service, to get rid of the... because, again, I was talking about elections or hiring and firing, right? Job interviews, you make the decision as the voter to hire and fire. If you're in a company, if you're the CEO of a company, even a mid-manager, but you're in charge of hiring and firing for your division, if you have a 19-year employee that has done a spectacular job, that has done met and exceeded every benchmark you've set, based on the job description they were given, would you fire him after 19 years because somebody else says they want to come in and they want to, instead of doing the job as written, they want to redefine the job. They want to make it into a political position where they can advocate for certain so-called rights. Because that's the decision you have in this particular case. You have a fantastic judge with an amazing history, and you have an activist parading as a candidate to be a judge, to be a circuit court judge. It should be a pretty straightforward deal. It should be something where one can look at it and say, well, what's best from the legal point of view? You know, what kind of person do you want sitting at the bench? I think when one can't make basic decisions about their own identity, knowing who they really are, that calls to me in question of how they're going to make a judgment, prudential or otherwise, on the bench. If, in fact, what they're looking to do is advance a certain cause. That is not why one should be elected to serve as a judge. It's not why one should run to be a judge. But as I read this back and forth, it was in print, obviously, between them, all the little buzzwords are there, and it's clear what the point is. Now, there's a lot of raw feeling right now out of the last election, out of how things have been handled. I promise you, if you don't show up and vote, those raw feelings are going to get worse. Because as we can see, the left never slows down. They will always push their agenda forward, whether they just won, whether they just lost, doesn't matter. They don't slow down. They keep pushing forward. If we don't show up and vote, there is no defense. There's nothing we can claim if we don't go out of our way to make sure that Judge Kendall Kelly stays as our circuit court judge. If we don't do our part, there's no complaining. I mean, that's number one. You can't complain if you're not willing to take some action. But furthermore, if we don't stand up and act, Richard Mays is only the tip of the iceberg.
The Regular Joe Show.